We are in the midst of this season of Eastertide. I'm not sure exactly when the middle is, but it feels like we're sort of there. These great 50 days, the season to celebrate the glorious resurrection of Jesus, to give thanks to God for the resurrection of Jesus. It's a season where we celebrate with joy that promise that comes with Jesus' victory over sin and death. And we give thanks for that promise that through the waters of baptism, we too share in his victory. That through baptism, we have been baptized into his death and into his resurrection. This does lead me, however, to ask some questions. It makes me wonder, what does the resurrection of Jesus mean to us now? What does it mean to us in this place, at this time? It makes me wonder, how is it that we are called to live in the power of Jesus' resurrection? How is it that we are called to be an Easter people? How do we live that out? It's intentional that during Eastertide, we follow that ancient practice of the church and read from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. That book contains the stories of those first followers of Jesus and what happened to them after his death and resurrection and ascension. It says what happens to them after the descent of the Holy Spirit. How the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power of the risen Jesus, transform those first followers of Jesus. How they leave behind their places of fear and of hiding. And how they find new courage and new authority, even to take them to the ends of the earth. And wherever they go, they do what Jesus did. They preach and teach. They heal the sick. And sometimes they even raise the dead. But I think above all, they come to see the world differently. They come to understand themselves differently. And they come to understand God differently. For through the power of the resurrection, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, these first followers of Jesus become a new creation, a people reborn, a people transformed in very dramatic and significant ways. And so we have our story today in our lesson from the book of Acts. It's another story about Peter. We heard something about Peter last week. Well, this week, Peter's being called to Jerusalem to answer to the authorities of the church there. For they have heard that Peter has shared a meal with Gentiles, and that violates Jewish practice. It violates the dietary laws. And so they've called him to Jerusalem to answer for himself. And so Peter explains a vision he had, which comes just slightly before this passage in the book of Acts. And in this vision, he sees a great sheet lowered, and there are animals on it. And the thing those animals have in common is they are considered unclean by Jewish dietary law. And then a voice tells Peter, "Peter, kill, eat." But Peter refuses. And Peter, in fact, says, "I can't do that. These things are unclean." And a voice from heaven tells Peter, "What God has made clean, you must not profane." And this happens three times, stressing the importance of this message. And then after the third time, the sheet is pulled up into heaven. And then immediately, the Spirit's at work here, immediately men appear and they want to take Peter and have him visit a Gentile man and his household. And the Holy Spirit says to Peter, "Go with them." And so Peter does, and ends up in the home of Cornelius the centurion, a Gentile. And Peter then recounts how when he preaches to Cornelius and his family, the Holy Spirit is given to them, just as it was given to those first apostles. And Peter's conclusion is the question, "Who was I that I could hinder God?" Peter sees God is pouring God's Spirit on them. And so Peter goes with that. He comes to see God's doing a new thing. And then he shares a meal with them. Now what's fascinating is, we know about church controversies, how they unfold. Often there's great animosity. People may have difficulty listening to one another. We see that in the past. We see it in the present. That's not what happens here. The leaders of the church in Jerusalem who have invited Peter to come and explain himself, listen to him. And after listening to his story, they are persuaded. And they come to agree, like Peter, that God is doing a new thing, and that Gentiles can be included in the church without having to follow the law, without being circumcised. So through that respectful and prayerful listening, they come to a new understanding. And that all happens through the power of the risen Jesus and through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so Peter and the leaders of the church in Jerusalem are transformed. They see what God is doing. They see that it's something radically new, something that they had not known before. But they discern it is God's activity, and so they change how they act. They change what they believe. They broaden how they think. And so I find it remarkable that Peter, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is able to let go of a lifetime of belief and practice. Let go of that notion you have to follow the law to be part of the community, and to allow Gentiles to come into the community without the law. He gives up his understanding of how things are, how they're supposed to be. And in doing so, a whole new group of people are welcomed. In his being allowed to be changed, new people are allowed into the community. And Peter is seeing with new eyes, if you will. And the leaders of the church in Jerusalem allow the Holy Spirit to speak to them through Peter, and for themselves to be transformed. They listen and they are changed. As people living in the power of the resurrection of Jesus, we are called to allow ourselves to be changed, to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to show us the new things that God is doing. We are called to see like Peter with fresh eyes, in fact, to see with those eyes of the risen Jesus, and to see God at work in the world all around us, even now, even in this place, and to resist all ways that our world has of excluding people, of dividing, of saying you're in, you're out. After respectfully listening, the leaders in Jerusalem came to understand God was doing something new, and they went with it. They allowed themselves to be changed, to open up to new realities. And so through the Holy Spirit, we're called to discern God's call and to listen and to be changed. This past Lent, we undertook a book study. We read together The Cross and the Lynching Tree by James Cone. In fact, we didn't finish. We've been continuing on Thursdays in Eastertide. And Cone is an African-American minister. He grew up in Arkansas during the lynching years and is now a professor at Union Theological Seminary in New York. And Cone writes about the connection for African-Americans of the cross of Jesus and the lynching tree, and notes that between 1880 and 1940, almost 5,000 African-Americans were killed by lynching. And Cone observes that white Christians either don't know this history or choose not to talk about it. But he maintains that until we all know this history, until we all come to terms and talk about it, to admit that this tragedy happened, there cannot be racial reconciliation. Now, through our sessions and our conversation, and in response to reading Cone's book, strong emotions have been stirred. Sometimes we felt some anger. Anger at what has happened. Anger that this could have been allowed to go on. We certainly have known sadness and grief. There have been times those of us who are white and part of this conversation have felt shame and guilt. There have been times when we've been overwhelmed by the horror of this reality, by the hatred that is exhibited in this horrific practice. And it has left us with questions. What do we do now? What can we do in response to the reality of this awful history that we have been educating ourselves about? Cone reminds us that the cross of Jesus is both a symbol of humanity's sin and hatred, but it is also the promise of hope and of transformation, that through the horror of the cross, the power of sin and death, the power of hate is broken. Death no longer has dominion. Hate no longer will win in this world. That power has been broken by the death and resurrection of Jesus. Now, while we cannot change the past, the cross and the resurrection of Jesus offer the promise that the present and the future can be different. As we have our eyes open to the actions of those who have gone before us, we can come to see with new and fresh eyes. We can imagine a different reality. And we can be agents of God's love, of transformation, of God's justice. Now, I'll admit, it may seem there's little we can accomplish. A small group of us reading this book, coming to this awareness, are not going to dismantle the systemic racial oppression of our nation. But I think we cannot also underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit, how we can begin to see things in new ways, find God working in our world in new ways, how we can be transformed and changed, and in and through us and others doing this work, God can accomplish great things. Like Peter and the leaders in Jerusalem, we're called to allow ourselves to be changed, to allow ourselves to put on that presence of Jesus, to see with the eyes of God. Eyes that don't see exclusion, but see beloved children of God, so that we become those who cast down those boundaries and welcome in those who have been excluded. We see with eyes that allow us to identify the injustices of our age and our world and to fight against them. They are the eyes that allow us to see God's intention for this world and to fight all injustice, any hatred or exclusion, and even to take on the tyranny of fear and despair. In our gospel this morning, Jesus is speaking at the Last Supper. These are some of his final words to his disciples, and he says he is leaving them, and where he is going they cannot follow. But he has also promised the Holy Spirit will be with them, that abiding presence of him that will stay with them and form and guide them. And then he calls them to live the new commandment, that commandment of loving, to love one another as he has loved us. And in fact says the world will know his disciples by that love. May we live rooted in that love of Jesus, that the world might be transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us, that as we are transformed into his body, we might transform this world. Like Peter, may we not hinder what God would do, but instead be agents of God's activity. And like the leaders of the church in Jerusalem, may we always listen, have respect even for those who disagree with us, and be open to what they say. For we never know when the new and surprising things God is doing may come to us. And may God's presence lead us to accept those things and to be agents of God's vision for this world, a vision of justice and love. Amen.